Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Alyssa.
And I'm Amy. And I think that everyone, everywhere knows about what's going on in the world. And I hope that you all are staying safe and, you know, doing everything that you can to alleviate, you know, your own personal fears. And I hope that we all can say this will be a distant memory soon.
I agree 100%. Stay safe. Stay in. Listen to podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah. Binge documentaries.
Anything that you can get your hands on. You'll have time.
Drink a lot of wine, you know. Mm-hmm. Normal things. And that's about all. Although I will say, someone sent me a meme yesterday and it was like, I think that every true crime, and I posted it to our social media, but it says like a cold case file should be sent to every true crime person in America and it's time for some quarantine justice. And I mean, I'm down.
Yeah, worldwide.
For real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many people could like solve some real crimes right now?
If one out of the bunch got solved, it would be worth it.
It'd be worth it.
100%.
I'll sign an NDA. I won't talk about it.
Whatever. That's great. I'd do it too.
All right. So that's all we're going to spend talking about that.
Right.
Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
You have a case.
It's my turn this week. Yes.
I know. And I'm not going to lie. I'm really excited about it. When you said it, I knew the name. But that's all I knew.
And the only reason is, folks, is because I swiped it from Melissa.
It's on the, so I read like a paragraph about it and I was like, ooh, that sounds interesting. Put it on my list. This happened like earlier this week. And when I was like, hey, who's your case? And Amy told me, I was like, oh, that was just on my list. But I don't know enough that I know enough that like I might have hear the story.
Well, I'll tell you this one thing why I really felt connected to this case. It's because there is a case that sounds almost identical to this particular one. And it happened to get a lot of traction due to some podcasts out there that are popular. And the sister of the victim who speaks out a lot to try and get media attention. The case that I'm doing today doesn't have that same traction. And I think it really hurt my heart. So I was like, I have to do it regardless of you know, how anyone might feel about it, you know? I just feel like
I agree.
So the person I'm going to tell you about today is Caitlin Akins. So Caitlin is 19 years old, and she's from Virginia, and she grew up there. She has a family. She has a sister that she's really close to. Actually, she's close to everyone in her family, and she talks to them all the time. She's a very, very smart girl. School came easy to her, okay?
Okay.
In her high school, which is different from mine, so I don't exactly know how it works, was that you basically, you're a smart girl. You can take on more. You can finish up early, which was not an option for my schooling. So she ended up hustling through, getting all her classes done, performing very well, and she graduated when she was 16 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So she had the option to kind of toy with it, I guess, and probably extend it for a little bit longer, but she was like, no, you know what? I'm ready to graduate. I'm really excited about starting my life. So
good for her.
So for most of her life, she had dreams of becoming like an early childhood educator, and she had kind of invested in that path and avenue for herself. As typical, you know, with a lot of us, you know, she decided maybe it wasn't for her and she had other interests. So she actually grew up with a really good childhood friend. And this childhood friend, her name is Amber, ended up moving to Arizona. A lot of us have had those friends in school, your best friends till the end, and they move away. And most of the time, honestly, you lose contact. And if it weren't for Facebook nowadays, you would never know what ever happened to them.
Or you stay friends with them and you start a podcast.
That too. Well, in this case, they didn't start a podcast, but they did keep in touch. And at some point during their conversing and staying in touch, they started to have feelings for one another. And I guess they kind of had this long distance relationship.
How old were they at this point?
Well, shortly after high school, Caitlin ended up moving to Arizona to move in with Amber. So they were serious about having a relationship with one another and eventually engaged.
But she was like 17 then, or 16 when it started?
There's really no timeline. Okay. It's like she moved away and a romance blossomed kind of thing.
Okay.
So it's really hard to pinpoint where. But after she graduated high school, like, it was certain enough that she was like, I'm picking up my life in Virginia and I'm moving to Arizona. And she did just that. So she had never really left Virginia. And she's like, hey, I'm just going to move across the country in with my girlfriend, which, I don't know, moving 2 hours north was really scary for me. I cried in my dorm room the first night, but here she is. She's like, bye, everyone. So shortly after Caitlin turned 18, she moved to Arizona in about September of 2014. She wanted to be with Amber, and that's how she was going to do it. Now, a lot of young people, like teenagers, who move far away from their parents, like, if I had to ask you, Melissa, like, how often do you think that she was talking to her mom and her sister? What would you say?
I'm not going to use myself because I'm abnormal. I probably would be talking to my sister 2 to 3 times a day, my mom at least once a day.
Okay, so then you and her would be great friends because she was talking to her mom, or at least attempting by text or phone call to talk to her mom and sister several times a day, every day. And it would be about anything and everything.
That would be my family too. So I understand that. My sister and I probably talk, if you add text, I don't want to tell you how many times a day.
Right. If you were not texting for, I don't know, a couple of hours, people might say, like, well, she could be in a meeting or something. But if a few more hours go by.
Yes.
They'd probably be a little concerned, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Okay. So this is how close that Caitlin is with her family. Caitlin actually came back to visit her family around December of 2015. Now, her sister was pregnant and had a baby, and at the time that Caitlin visited, the baby was roughly 2 weeks old. Caitlin had loved babies. If you remember, she wanted to be an early childhood educator. She had been around babies. She loved them. And this is her sister.
And it was her niece or nephew. Yeah.
Exactly. So she's psyched. This is really important to her. So that was like one of the main reasons that she wanted to go back and visit. But also, she had kind of found her calling. So she wanted to go into cosmetology. She was like, that's it for me. Now, I watched the Disappeared episode on this case, and her family talks about how she had always had this passion for hair and things like that. And she was always wanting to experiment on her mom and her sister. And they have like really special memories of that. So in order for her to finish her registration in the cosmetology school, she needed her high school diploma. Her high school diploma was in Virginia. So when she got to Virginia, she was like, everyone, do not let me forget my diploma. I need it for registration or I can't start school. Okay, no problem. You've got your diploma.
Which, kudos to her for knowing where that is.
Why, you don't?
Do you know where your high school diploma is?
Yes, I do.
Good for you.
I have a cedar chest.
I mean,
look at Miss Type B over here knows where things are. Don't tell anyone that.
It's in a bin somewhere. I know where. Probably it's in my high school bin. I have like a whole bin of all like my yearbooks, my photos, all that. But good for her for knowing where it is.
So naturally she's home. She catches up with friends. The night before she left, she had met up with some friends, and then the day after, she was scheduled to take off and go back to Arizona. Now, Caitlin's mom, and I don't know why, and no one thinks this is like anything to, you know, really scratch your head about, but for whatever reason, these arrangements weren't made in advance, or it doesn't seem that way, but Caitlin's mom could not bring her to the airport. Her mom worked in a grocery store, and she just couldn't get out of work to bring her there. And it seems as though the airport was quite a distance away. It was about 60-ish miles from the home. So after, I think, trying to find a few people, they actually were able to obtain transportation from Caitlin's ex-stepfather. Maybe that sounds a little bit weird, but my understanding is that Caitlin's mother, Lisa, and Caitlin's ex-stepfather, James, were married, and they were married when Caitlin was a very young child, roughly 3 years old, and Caitlin had no memory or really any relationship with her biological father. So this is one of those scenarios that he really stepped up to the plate and did anything and everything for the girls. Unfortunately, the marriage just didn't work out, so they ended up getting divorced, but it sounds like James is kind of a stand-up guy, and he often stepped in to help Lisa out, whatever she needed with the girls, for the girls. So, I mean, to me, that's really like a noble thing. The guy could have just said, hey, my job here is done. See you later. Don't talk to me again.
Yeah, no, you're right. He could have.
He did agree to take her to the airport. There was kind of one issue, though. So Caitlin's mom had to go into work, which is the first issue, and had to drop Caitlin off at James's house really early, like 8, 9 in the morning, something like that. James said he had to be into work around 3-ish, and Caitlin's flight didn't take off to 5:40. So if you remember just a few seconds ago, I told you that the airport was about 60 miles away.
60 or 16?
60.
Okay.
So basically, he had to drop her off at the airport early, and she would have to wait around for her flight. So if I didn't say so before, this is all on Saturday, December 5th.
Okay.
When she was supposed to take the flight and return home to Arizona. So the last time that anyone other than James sees Caitlin is when mom drops her off.
In the morning.
In the morning.
Okay.
And mom said, everyone that had come into contact with Caitlin when she was home, including her mom at drop-off, said she was in good spirits. You know, there was nothing off about her. They would know it. They knew her really well. She communicated really well. She said that when she had dropped Caitlin off, she saw James and Caitlin standing in front of the sofa having a conversation just about her getting into cosmetology school and starting that avenue in her life. Nothing odd about it. She didn't think twice about it. At about 1:52 in the afternoon, James texts Lisa and says that he just dropped Caitlin off at the airport. Pretty much right after that, Caitlin texts Lisa and says that her phone was dying and she would speak to her later, but alluded to the fact that she was safe and she was at the airport, like she had made it. No one hears anything for quite some time. Then later, before the flight, there's a text from Caitlin to Amber, and Caitlin said that she wasn't getting on the flight that she was scheduled for. Amber thinks this is very weird, and she's like, what is going on? If she doesn't get on this flight, what's going to happen? I don't understand. She calls Lisa, and Lisa's immediately panicked because she knows that there's no other flight out that day. She doesn't know what she's talking about getting on some other flight to go back to Arizona. She tries to call. There's no response. Everyone is calling her at this point, and there's no response. And it wasn't until 7:15 that there's a text that says, I'm with a friend. I need time to be alone, to her mother. And this is in two separate text windows. So, you know, there are some people that text like the big blurb all in one like text box, right? And there are some people that text 50 different ones, and you either fall into one camp or the other.
What camp am I in, Amy?
You're in the 50 million.
I totally am.
And I guess I would be too. And I think a lot of people are, but this particular text really alarmed Lisa because Caitlin tends to use tons of emojis, and she definitely is the one box texter. And this message came in two texts. Then after, there's a text to Amber from Caitlin's phone, and it says, I can't come back. I cheated on you.
What?
Everyone is just scratching their head, like, what happened? They naturally contact the police, and the police are like,
She's an adult and wait 24 hours or 48 hours.
100%. They're freaking out, but they do that. But come Monday morning, I tell you, Lisa could not wait anymore, and she went to the police. And that's when they started to look into things. They obviously talk to everyone to try and figure out what's going on. And they go back to James. And James had said, I drove her up to the airport and she was early. So she requested that I drop her off at a mall, which is relatively short distance to the airport. She said, I'm just going to kind of go look around. I have time to kill. And then I'm going to take the metro to the airport.
But didn't he text her mom that he dropped her at the airport?
Yes. They're like, that just does not sound like Caitlin. Her mom was like, my daughter has not been on a metro since she was like 3 or 4 years old. She wouldn't know how to use it. That's just not something that she would do. Something is not right here. Lisa is pleading with the police officers to do more and stuff. And in the midst of all this, when they're trying to piece together everything that happened, police come across a missing bag of luggage on the side of the road.
What?
This missing bag of luggage, yep, you heard me, was found not even 10 miles away from James's house. The luggage seemed to be damaged as if maybe it had been thrown out of a vehicle or something. And when they opened the luggage and looked in it, there was her wallet, her phone charger, money, but her diploma was missing, and her clothes were gone, too.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So it was basically empty except for, like, her personal effects?
Yes, except there was no clothes, and the diploma that she had was missing.
But her license was in it.
Yes.
Because I was like, well, maybe he didn't want someone to know who it was, but... Pretty dumb.
Yeah,
to license.
Me, this is like not logical.
So keep going.
They contact James. They start talking to him. James, for quite some time, is like really cooperative. And I don't think he was even really considered like a person of interest. He was just the last person that saw them and told the story and was totally willing to come down to the police station, totally willing to talk to them, work with them, whatever. Things temporarily got really scary because in this same time frame, there was the body of a female about the age of 20 found. And this was literal hell for this family because they had to wait for this body to be ID'd. And that wasn't in minutes, it wasn't in hours, and it wasn't overnight. And if it were me and this was all happening in the same time frame, I would be like, it's got to be her. This is awful. Like, they found her stuff. We don't know where she is. It actually turned out not to be Caitlin. It turned out to be a girl named Heather. And they did a lot of investigating. And they weren't able to really link. Not that they knew who it was or anything like that. But they weren't able to link these two situations. There weren't anything that really crossed. As much as it might seem like a serial killer type thing that they were happening upon, it didn't really seem that that was the case. Just unfortunate two random incidents that happened with young girls. So police ended up doing a 30-mile radius helicopter search. They searched the woods. They did water searches. They combed that area like you wouldn't believe, and they didn't find a shred of clothing. They didn't find a piece of a diploma. It was nothing. So they continue on talking to people, and they talk to the friends that Caitlin was with on the day before she disappeared. The friends that Caitlin was hanging out with were a couple, and they were all drinking, and they were having a seemingly good time. And unfortunately, it turned into what sounds like a sexual encounter. I don't know what exactly that entails, and I don't know that it's important
to know all those details. It's not important to know those details, but if she did cheat on Amber, that's something...
Well, yes. So we know that enough of an encounter happened where it probably would have constituted cheating. I just don't know any salacious details.
Oh, right, right, right.
It's one of those things where they woke up the next day and everyone had regret. And everyone felt really awkward about it and just didn't sit right. My understanding, though, is like, and please talk to this couple, and they kind of ruled them out because it was really one of those things where it was like regretful, but no one really got upset about it or mad. It was just like, ugh, that was a really poor decision on our part. And from what they understand, Caitlin felt the same way.
Okay.
They continue to speak with James. James's story is that he dropped her off at the mall in front of a JCPenney, and that was, he gave her $20 for the Metro, and that was it. And what police had discovered was that both of their phones were pinging in the area that James lived when he was making these texts, rather than from the airport area. So they're obviously starting to scratch their heads. So they say, James, can you please come down for a polygraph test? Yeah, sure, no problem. I'll do that 100%. So they schedule that for December 29th at 10:30 a.m. Right before, literally, pretty much the day of, he's like, yeah, I'm not coming down. My attorney advises me not to do that. They're like, what? Okay. So that makes us a little bit suspicious.
But it inevitably shouldn't. Because we both say we wouldn't take it.
Well, you know, I agree. It's really just, it depends what side you're on, frankly, you know?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I look at people and say, why wouldn't you take one? But if it was me, I wouldn't take one.
I know. It's a hard place to be. But you know what happens? They inevitably get a search warrant and they search his home. And they spent hours scouring his home and property. And they found absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. At this point, he's pretty upset.
Wait.
And he's...
Sorry, they found nothing, as in, like, no sign, not even anything, a hair or a fiber?
Well, they say it was nothing of significance.
Okay, because I was going to say, if they found nothing, that's weird, because we know she was there.
I don't want to say they didn't find a hair and were like, well, that...
It makes sense, because she was there.
Right.
Okay.
But they found nothing significant. And this is when he just stops cooperating. He stops talking to everyone. Lisa is pleading with him, you know, like, I don't know why you're not helping anymore. You're the last person that saw her. He's like, I'm done. I'm sick of answering the same questions over and over again. I'm not going to do it. Police continue to investigate his story. What do they find? Well, I mean, you would love this part. There were tapes.
Oh, good.
Well, don't get too excited. Because there's surveillance outside of the airport and there's surveillance at JCPenney.
I was actually going to ask, like, this is post 9/11. There's got to be airport surveillance.
You are absolutely right. So they scoured the mall footage. He said he dropped her off at JCPenney. It's not like they're scouring hours of footage from every entrance in the mall. He said JCPenney. They did not find a sighting of her, a sighting of James, or his vehicle. And same can be said for the airport. You want to take that back to him? Great. But remember, he already stopped participating. So it's kind of like talking to a door. What they also found was that James actually called out of work that day. Remember the day that he had to bring her to the airport early?
Wait, what?
Because he had to work? Yeah, he called out. He called out of work.
And do we know
why?
He
said that he went to work. No, we don't know why. Because he had lied and he... And
you would think they could subpoena an employer.
Well, my understanding is just that he called out and they know that he did.
Hmm. Okay.
Just lining all this evidence.
It's not looking very good for you, James.
Not looking very good for you, James. So in lining all this up, there are no pings from either of their cell phones at or around the airport or the mall. Any cell phone pings that took place around the area of the home within 10 miles, right? There's no sightings at the airport. There's no sightings at JCPenney. There's no sightings of him at any of those places or his vehicle. There are suspicious texts that don't really make any sense to anyone. And even though everyone was begging and pleading for her to call them after she's sitting there apparently texting, she never calls. And after she went, you know, like after the conversation kind of went cold, she never, you know, texted or called ever again. And James also never called or texted her.
I hate that fact. Someone that never calls her. If y'all are going to make someone go missing, please continue to call them. Because I feel like that's the dumbest mistake you can make. I mean, Adnan didn't call Hay. And we are 100% sure he didn't do it.
However, Adnan and Hay were broken up. And fair. He didn't... He wasn't supposed to see her the day that she went missing.
Right, but...
okay. But this is the guy that's... like, hey, I dropped you off at the airport. What's up with that? Where did you go?
I'm with you.
Everyone's looking for you.
I'm with you.
So, I mean, I think this is a little bit different. So, I mean, I think what really baffled investigators is that this guy cooperated so much at the beginning of the investigation. It's like, why would you be so cooperative like that with us if you had, you know, absolutely nothing to do with this? Or if you had something to do with this. So I think what they started to wonder was if Caitlin actually did run away because there were texts found on her phone that she didn't know where she wanted to be. She didn't want to be in Arizona and she didn't want to be in Virginia. And she kind of didn't know what to do. It sounds like a girl, you know, going through a huge transition in her life. And she's just trying to find herself, but she doesn't know where that self is. They also found encrypted text messaging apps. So they question, like, was she talking to someone and maybe met up with them? And if any of this happened, is James so tight-lipped because maybe he helped her disappear? I don't know. And that's... more or less how this story ends. So there right. aren't 5 million theories.
Okay.
I mean, there's a legit one that she up and left her life. There is one that she met someone maybe on an app that was unsafe and had ulterior motives. And there's James is responsible.
I don't know. I feel like I feel like I'm all over the place. Like, part of me wants to really dig into her leaving her life. But, like, I struggle because, like, I talk to my mom and my sister that much. And I can't imagine not talking to them ever again.
Right.
You know, I struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
The luggage thing throws me. Where do you land? Let's start with that.
I really can get behind James having some responsibility in her disappearance. But I can't wrap my head around why.
Yeah.
There's never been any... speculation in anything that I read or in the disappeared episode that I watched of anything inappropriate in their relationship. If it was like an abusive relationship, everything says it was rainbows and pots of gold. If it wasn't abuse, then I don't know where to go, because why would someone be so kind and loving to you your whole life and then something happens where something like this happens, disappearance or... I don't know.
Yeah, I support that. But yeah, like, what is the motive? Why?
I mean, I assume that he's not in the dark about her life. I've wondered if, you know, something about her being engaged to a female, was he homophobic or something like that? And this is the first that he's hearing about it. But then I'm like, that's so... it is and it isn't ridiculous, because in my head, like, it's not remotely anything to be upset about or anything like that. But I do know that there are people out there that aren't for it. Or did she have such a close relationship that she confessed about her regrets from the night before? And for whatever reason, he flipped out about that or something.
Yeah, but is that something you tell your ex-stepfather?
No, but I mean, I'm certainly trying to weigh it all.
Yeah, so... all right, let's talk through one at a time, because I can't wrap my head around any of them.
Okay.
So let's just talk through James for a second. We don't know why.
Right.
But it certainly does look bad that her phone only pinged at his house.
Mm-hmm. So within 10 miles.
Within 10 miles of his house. And so did his. He missed work. He said he went to work.
Right.
Okay, so James is the key. He knows what happened. Whether it was foul play or she left her life. I think that he knows. I don't think that she met someone on an app and left with them without James knowing that.
I mean, I disagree. I mean, she's texting on this app and it's like, I'm in, you know, this Reagan Airport area.
Yeah, but he never dropped off at the airport.
Well, that's true. That's
right,
true.
Right. If she got to the mall of the airport, I could buy into anything. But she never got there.
Right.
So whatever happened, happened to her leaving James's house. So either she left his house to essentially have him hurt her, or she left this house to leave her life, in which he had to have known what she was doing. Because even if she said, oh, hey, I actually don't need to ride to the airport. One of my friends is going to take me and they're picking me up here. He right. would just say that to the police.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I think he's lying. I just don't know what it's for.
And I agree with you.
Okay. So my question now is, like, you're a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Would you lie for your kid disappear for this long?
No. Because I'm of the mindset that my daughter's not just mine. My daughter has a piece of a lot of people's hearts. So
well,
it's okay. really...
Right. And I agree with that. She's not just yours. She's your significant others also. But let's say...
Beyond that, she's our families.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So.
Amy and I have really strong family values. So a walk away is really hard for us to wrap our head around because of that. We both have really strong family ties. Right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just can't understand why he would hurt her. Like, although it's, in my head, probably the most likely situation. Where was her luggage found?
Within, you know, again, about 10 miles of the home on the side of the road.
But where are her clothes?
That's a great question. I don't believe that whatever happened was planned. Or if this is a situation where he's somehow responsible in the most heinous way, it's not like he had planned all along that he was going to take her to the airport that day. He was asked. So it kind of leads me to believe that something happened that day in the moment, whether it was like, you need to help me leave my life, or something heinous happened.
Yeah, but okay. So let's, for one second, let's say it is like leave my life thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Either that was planned ahead of time, or there's no way she would have agreed to let him drive to the airport. Because if she wanted to leave her life, she would have just said, no, I have a friend going to pick me up. The friend I was out with the night before. They're going to drive me. Someone that's not connected to
Perhaps.
Her family. Well, I'm just thinking, if I'm going to leave my life, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to know I'm going to leave my life. And I go to Boston to visit family, right?
Sure.
And
sure.
I see everyone. Let's just say I stay at my in-laws, like, whatever. All these things, okay? And I'm like, hey, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. And I'm going to use my in-laws because they're adults up there. And my in-laws are like, okay, well, we'll drive you to the airport. And my mother-in-law's like, no, I can't. I have to work. If I'm going to not get on that plane, and I already know that, I'm going to say, oh, well, no problem. My friends are going to take me anyway. So sort of remove myself from any situation.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not planning on it and I'm planning on going to the airport, I'm going to say, oh, it's fine. Like, whoever else can take me, no problem, no problem.
Right.
I mean, do you see my logic?
Yeah, I see your process.
So I'm curious as to, I think I just talked myself into James doing something to her.
My gut means nothing to anybody, I know, but like that's what my gut says.
So do we think, and this is completely me speculating, this is not fact, do we think that there was like ever abuse in the past? And
nothing
she wasn't planned.
Nothing that I read mentioned anything. And in the disappeared episode, they interviewed her sister, who didn't, from my best recollection, because I don't take notes when I'm watching, from my best recollection, she did not say any negative thing about him.
Younger or older sister?
I believe she's younger.
Well, I wonder if they were divorced by the time she would have been old enough for anything to happen.
Is it possible? Sure.
I'm just saying, let's talk to that for 1 second, because there are very few reasons that, in my opinion, he wants to kill her, right? Like, but now she's 19, she's an adult, and she didn't expect herself to be in a situation with this guy, right?
Sure.
And instead of, like, losing her crap to her mom and being like, no, I don't want to see him, he's knocked out. She's like, whatever, he can drive me fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say they get into it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just spitballing, but I don't know any other reasons why he would just want to kill his ex-stepdaughter.
I wonder...
Is he a psychopath?
I wonder if he's... It was an accident.
Talk me through it.
Well, I mean, I don't really have it in my head, but, like, she...
I mean, she's not a baby. He didn't accidentally drown her in the bathtub.
No, but, like, he nudges her, pushes her down the stairs, you know, like, he's offended, and he slaps her, and she hits her head. The possibilities really are endless.
But why are we... I don't understand how you... And that's something I'll never understand. How you go from accidentally hurting someone to being like, okay, they fell, they hit their head because I pushed them. I'm going to call 911. No, actually, you know what? I'm just going to hide the body.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I don't want to get too much into it, but because I don't want to drag a presumably innocent man through the mud or anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
But he may never have done anything sinister to her or her sister, but she has been gone for a year now. He hasn't seen her. Maybe she's, in his eyes, an adult woman.
And he comes on to her?
Maybe.
I mean,
and she's like, I said no, and he's like, oh my gosh, you can't tell anyone that this happened.
And she's like, I'm gonna tell my mom.
Perhaps. Now, let me just re-emphasize that this is an off-the-cuff theory, and...
It totally is. I agree with Amy 100%. Like, we are not in the business of casting a negative light on anyone, and, you know, it's one of those things where if it comes out and he's not involved, I'd almost want to pull the episode, because it's not fair. But everything just looks bad, from never leaving your house, or never leaving 10 miles from your house, to the weird text messages, to not going to work.
Yeah. Cancel your polygraph, stop cooperating, all that.
The cancel the polygraph I don't have an issue with, because I'm so adamant that I wouldn't take one.
In and of itself, I agree with you, but with everything.
Right. Right. Compiled with everything else, I agree with that. But, and as for not cooperating, I'm curious as to, has he not cooperated, like, through an attorney? Or just not at all? Because if not cooperating means you won't talk to the police on your own and you only talk with an attorney, I don't have an issue with that either.
Mm-hmm. I think you and I actually kind of agree.
I don't think the cell phone apps have anything to do with it. She's 19. Whatever. She has texting apps.
Yeah. And it's not uncommon for a 19-year-old to question a lifelong commitment like marriage to someone and be really scared of that. So...
Right. I'm not... maybe the whole, like, her cheating thing was true, but I don't think... I just... What time was that text message sent? That I cheated on you, I'm not coming back?
It was one of the later ones into the evening.
So she had to have told her stepfather that it happened.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, she had to have. If we're assuming he did something
sure.
to her...
Sure. Yeah.
Or at the very least had her phone at that point.
Yep.
He had to have known that.
Yes. However, if she told him or if he went through her phone and looked at other conversations or whatever. Yeah.
That's fair, too. It's a weird one.
It is
a weird
one. But
I think I'm going to land on the stepfather's involved. And I think I'm going to land on foul play, not involved in helping her leave her life.
And I 100% agree with you. Ha ha. Look at us this
week. Look at that. We don't usually have this happen.
No, I'm a little bit speechless.
And I didn't even throw you for a loop with this episode.
Nope. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no, I think it's interesting. I don't like any of it, truthfully.
Yep, I know you don't.
And I feel for her parents and her sister, her mom and her sister.
Yeah, the nephew that, I believe it's a nephew, I'm sorry, that she won't be able to watch grow up.
Yeah.
It is tragic.
But it is really tragic. But tell us what you guys think. Tell us, you know, if we're wrong, if you think we're right, tell us all the things.
Absolutely. That's all I've got. So we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Next week.
All right.
Enjoy your quarantine, everyone.
Bye. Bye. For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman. Audio production by Amy Lamar.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.